Welcome to Saints History, told and experienced the way God intended it, with excessive amounts of alcohol and cursing. The booze is probably bourbon because...
Other alcohols are for rich women on diets.
Now, here's your drunk Saints History host, who is...
bombed out of his gourd.
Hi, welcome to another edition of Saints Drunk History, special Memorial Day edition. So, I try to find people that I want to do the show with, that some of them you know on Twitter, some of them you might not know, and I try to find them to like slide them into topics. And this is my boy, Ian. He's on Twitter, but you got to be extra special because he's got protected tweets. But I needed to have Ian on because he rides super hard for Aaron Brooks, and I ride hard for Aaron Brooks. So I needed a guy to be with me on the Drunk History when we discuss Aaron Brooks. So I had Ian on. Ian, thanks for spending time on your holiday weekend.
Oh, no problem, man. We've been trying to do this for, what, over a year now?
We have been.
Super excited about finally being on, and I still almost missed it. So here we are. We'll get it done today.
Here's the thing, right? Like, every 6 months, I just, like, get on Twitter and I just tweet something positive about Aaron Brooks, like, wanting to pick a fight with people. I just want to pick fights with people about Aaron Brooks, and they just come at me. I don't give a shit. I'm drunk tonight. Here's the thing, and we'll start from the beginning with Aaron Brooks, but I want to get your thoughts on this. Aaron Brooks not being on the 50th anniversary team for the Saints is a fucking disgrace.
Oh, it's bogus. It's completely bogus. I mean, the franchise's first playoff game by throwing 4 touchdowns. But how does that not automatically get you on the top? It's unspeakable in my eyes.
Yeah, and the thing is, his 2003, like pre-Drew Brees, 24 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, like,
I think 59% completion.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's the best Saints, it's the best quarterback season in Saints history pre-Brees. And you're not going to put him on a... It's get the fuck out of here. And I know they're like, well, you got to put Archie.
No, what?
You got to bump Aber off. It drove me fucking insane. I had people coming at me, and I was just, you talk, because I get so mad, I just spew venom. You're calmer than me.
It's prior to Drew Brees, I think it's safe to say that he's the second best quarterback in Saints history. And I don't even think that's a stretch. I don't think that's a reach. I mean, we if you recall before that 2003 season, we had the headline of the Time Picayune when they used to do the little write-up about the season, and you got him, Joe Horn, Dante Stallworth, and Jerome Payton, and they're like, this offense is going to explode. He goes like 24-8 with another 2 rushing TDs. Like, what else do you want?
Yeah,
like, what else do you want?
And the thing is like, the argument of with Aaron Brooks, and we'll get into all of it because it's complicated because it's race and it's Jake DeLome being the local kid, and it got complicated in his personality. But he's the second best quarterback in Saints history. If you want to say Archie should have been, could have been, got fucked because the Saints were incompetent, that's fine. But on the field, Aaron Brooks is the second best quarterback in Saints history. That's just, like, I don't know what else to say as I drink and watch LeBron drag the trash pile that is the Cleveland Cavaliers to the title.
Unbelievable. It was like the first to 80 was going to win tonight. It
was like an NCAA regional final. It was
right.
So bad.
People will swear to God that this era of basketball is the most beautiful. Like, I just watched a 1977 game just now. But anyway,
I just watched LSU Wichita State second round regional game.
Right.
With
Ben Simmons afraid to take 12 footers because he's already got his money and he's done with the season. But anyways, once again, neither here nor there.
So back to Brooks. He's the second best quarterback. If you wanna add us, you can add Ian. If you are privileged enough to follow him, you can add me. They got about a dozen people that follow me that just are like, I think they're all like over the age of 60 and they just ride hard for Archie and they pretend they live in an alternate universe where like Archie actually accomplished on-field things and wasn't ruined by incompetence around him. But
so let's take a step back. If you take out that one ruined 2005 season, we're looking at a guy that for four full seasons and five games of 2000 has slightly over a 500 record. There's not another quarterback. I guess you could say Bobby Hebert, but I mean, he played with like a top
Bobby
five
Hebert never threw 20.
Era.
Yeah, Bobby Hebert never threw doing? 20 touchdowns though.
Yeah, Bobby Hebert, the idea with him was don't lose this game and make sure you get into field goal range for Morton Anderson. The first of 13, if we get 13 points, we're going to win today. So, yeah, I mean, Jim Everett probably was more productive than Bobby Hebert. We're going to look at numbers. But anyways, but
if Bobby Hebert was the quarterback of the Saints today, there would be blood in the streets of Saints Twitter. Like, we would be hating on each other because it would be arguments about is he good enough, is he not, he's local, oh my god, it would be horrible.
I mean, so look, so 2000 he goes 3-2 and he leads into a playoff victory. 2001 he goes 7-9, all right. 2002 he goes 9-7,
yep.
And you don't
yep.
make the playoffs off a fluky kick. Was that the Rams game that they didn't that they thought they were going to be in the playoffs?
No, that was 2000. That was 2004.
That was 2004. Okay, yeah. So you go 8-8 in 2003, 8-8 in 2004, and then obviously you have the Katrina situation.
That doesn't count. It
hits
pretend
the fan
like that didn't even happen.
Yeah, so I mean, he was a model of mediocrity, you know, but when you look at it, he's 500 over four seasons and then 3-2 and got a playoff game in his first year. You know, that's not Drew Brees. Nah, but Drew Brees has just as many 7-9, 8-8 seasons, so it is what it is.
No, and here's the thing with Brooks, and we'll start it with 2000, which I had to go on to Wikipedia. You know, the Saints traded for him right before the season started in 2000. They gave up, they traded Katie Williams in a third-round pick. They got Lamont Hall and Aaron Brooks back. Lamont Hall, one of the great Hall of Fame shit-starters in Saints history. Like, that dude knew how to stir more shit with other teams than any player I've ever seen. Like, Hazlitt loved that dude because he just could, like, get under players' skin and just, like annoy the fuck out of teams. Like, he's an all-time just shit.
Him and David Thomas that
yes.
we got in 2009. Those two dudes you literally wanted to punch in their face if
yeah.
they were on the opposite
like,
team.
That dude's like, I not only do you want to punch him, you're like, I need to punch him in the face, and then you need to punch him in the face, and then we need to get the woman over here to slap him, because he just needs it. And the thing is, he just hated him, but he was one of those all-time guys. So the Saints trade for Aaron Brooks, and 2000, you know, people don't remember this, Ian. I don't know your age, but people forget, like, the 2000 season, like, that was back when the NFL, they had the three divisions, and you played the last place schedule. And the NFL basically, not only back then did they let the crappy teams pick high, is they would say, look, we're going to have all the crappy teams, they're going to play each other a bunch of times, and one of them will make the playoffs, and that'll make their fans happy. So the Saints had the last place schedule, so they played just a ton of just shitty teams. Like, basically, when you had the last place schedule, you played every last place team in the league and like three second to last place teams plus your division record. So, like, the Saints in 2000, they only beat two teams with a winning records, the Rams one time and the Rams again in the playoffs. So, they had a shitty schedule, but they had a good team and they started out great. Blake looked awesome. And
yeah, he did.
And they were 7-3. And I'll tell you, the two saddest in-game sports experiences of my life walking out of the stadium, and I don't know if you went to Saints games back then or whatever, is...
Yeah, I've had tickets to since Rick Venturi took over. So that's what, 96?
Oh my god!
Yeah, so I've been to every game up until last year, from 1996 on to this last year.
So
we just sold the ticket.
So I said this on other Drunk History and Saints podcast. The two saddest experiences in my entire life walking out of stadium is the Saints 2000 when Blake broke his leg.
Like, broke his foot.
Broke his foot. And LSU.
It's got to be the Tim Couch. It's got to be the Tim Couch Hail Mary. What was that, 99?
It was LSU 2007 when they lost to Arkansas in
double overtime.
The stadium is just like, we lost the national championship. But back to the Saints in 2000, like, walking out of that stadium, Ian, it was dead silence. And the thing was, I remember Buddy D in the post game. He was just like a broken man. He was like, not only do the Saints have a history of being bad, which is horrible enough to try to overcome as a Saints fan, but now it's like, not only are we cursed, but we're cursed and God doesn't want us to be good. Like, we finally have something fun and enjoyable, and Ricky Williams gets hurt the week before.
I was going to say, within 7 days, Ricky Williams, he had 1,000 yards in 10 games.
Yeah.
Period. He had 1,000 yards in 10 games.
Yeah, and so you go from Ricky Williams getting hurt to the next Sunday, Jeff Blake is out for the year. It is fucking just darkness. It is horribleness. I'm glad that, like, the internet wasn't around then, because you just would have got online and it would have just been sadness forever. Like you just could have, like, read the paper and then went about your day. But, dude, Ian, because that's a whole generation ago, right? Like, explain right to people just, like, the darkness that was that moment.
And it was so – that was the Oakland game, correct?
That was the Oakland game.
Okay, so I'm in the dome. We sit in section 156, row 9. So we're in the opponent's end zone right behind the goalpost. So when they're on my end zone, I can see their damn eyelashes blinking from what hole they want to pick at the running back. So we're sitting there, and I want to say maybe it was a deep pass, or maybe he had threw a beautiful deep pass not long before. And then when he goes down, you're just sitting there, and you're like, you gotta be shitting me. So you got Ricky last week. And that's when Ricky looked like he was about 250 pounds. He was so oddly built, but he was just a hammer. And so you see Jeff Blake. You got Joe Horn dancing for a 3-yard catch. It was just, and then when he goes down, and you're 7-3, and you're looking at the backup quarterback situation, you're like, who is this loser that we just traded for? And now Jeff Blake is down. I'm like, why me? I just went through a 3-13 season the year before. Why me? So yeah, it was complete dark. I didn't think we had a shot. And I want to say he sucked when he came into that Oakland game, if I remember correctly. I was done at that point once Blake hobbled off with a half broken foot. It was rough times, man. That was a rough time.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it and you're like, you walk out and you're just like, you're a Saints fan, but you're like,
you're deflated.
You're just like, I don't know. Like, it's never going to, like, not only, this is back when they hadn't won a playoff game. So it wasn't even like, can they win a Super Bowl? Can they, like, now we think about it. Then it was just like, they're never winning anything.
Didn't they start that year something ridiculous? Like 4-0
Yeah, they started out 1-3, but they had won six. They had won six in a row, and you looked around, and I remember when they beat San Francisco, or they beat Carol. They beat San Francisco before Ricky got hurt, and it got them to 5-or it got them to 6-3, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the post game show, Buddy was like, he's like, you people are going to think I'm crazy, but the NFC this year is garbage. And it was because, like, Kerry Collins ended up winning with the Giants. And Buddy D was like, the NFC is garbage, and I'm here to tell you the Saints are, like, the second-best team in the NFC, maybe the first-best. He's like, I know you people think are going to think I'm crazy, but, like, it's not out of the realm that the Saints can win the Super Bowl. And people were just like, and it was fun, and it was great. So Brooks gets hurt, right? And then
Blake gets hurt.
Blake gets hurt, and you're like, oh God, oh, you know, you just don't know what to do with it. So they go to the Rams, and the Rams had won the Super Bowl the year before, but the Rams defense, for whatever reason, and my memory is bad, and I'm like 4 beers in, so I can't really say their defense is like turned to shit. Over, it went from like top 10 to like just garbage overnight. Like, it was atrocious.
They had a couple major injuries.
It basically turned into, like, the 2015-2014 Saints. Like, and they still had the greatest show on turf, so they could still score a ton of points, but their defense was just atrocious. So the Saints go into that game, and the thing I remember about that game was they showed Aaron Brooks in the tunnel, and he's just got that don't give a shit attitude smiling.
Oh, yeah.
Ian, his don't give a shit smiling attitude was great because it was like, he doesn't feel any pressure. We'll get to how
he... Right, the moment's not big enough for me.
Moment's not too big. But that's the thing we'll get to later is, you know, Aaron Brooks, his mannerisms and his expression, like, it never changed. Like, our opinion of it changed. But he never changed in all the time he was with the Saints. And he went out that game and, like, now granted, he wasn't great in that game, and Leroy Glover.
Leroy Glover had maybe
one of the all-time great Saints defensive games of all time. He had, like, 3.5 sacks and, like, the sack to, like, wrap it up at the end. But Brooks in that game, I'm trying to pull up his stats right now. He went for, let's see, as my computer takes a second to pull it up. Aaron Brooks had 185 yards passing and 190 yards passing and 34 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. And he had a long pass to Joe Horn that was a PI that doesn't show up in the stat sheet. That's how nerd I am. I can just, like, remember, like, random Saint shit even though I'm drunk. But, like, you looked at it and I remember thinking, holy shit. This is something, you know? I mean, I don't know. What did you think when you first, like, did you think, oh, he'll be all right. He's not good at, like, but, like, when you first saw him, were you like, oh, that's something?
I will say the first moment that I really woke up, I want to make sure I got the right season and I'm not mixing seasons. He had that game when we played the 49ers when he throws for 400 and then runs for like 100, and he was the first quarterback in NFL history.
We'll get to that in a second. That's the that's the next week, and I want to say, you know, the Saints won that game, and I remember that after that game, because we talk about 2000, but I remember Peter Finney, who, God rest his soul, he, you know, you would, back before the internet was a big thing, you would read the paper, and Peter Finney, you know, Buddy D influenced you after, Peter Finney influenced you in the morning, and Jim Henderson influenced you at night, right, the commentary.
Mm-hmm.
But yep, you read Peter Finney's column, and I remember reading Peter Finney's column the first year at Ditka, like 6 weeks in, and he's like, Ditka's a fucking disaster and should quit. And I was like, oh my, I was like, you know, at the time, I was like, I don't know, like 98, I guess I was still in college, but I was like, oh my God, Peter Finney is calling for Ditka to quit. I'm like, this is bad, because Peter Finney, like, didn't, he was like not, he was, he wasn't in the age of, like, hot take sportscaster.
He wasn't back then.
Peter Finney super didn't respected. Do that, right? So when he's throwing out, like, hot takes about Ditka and that sort of thing, you paid attention. I remember reading his column the next morning, and he was like, this is the biggest win in Saints history. And I was like,
there's a moment in that game with which, if Twitter was around then, probably would have shut Saints Twitter down. He's about 27 yards away from the end zone, and it collapses, and he rolls out another 10 yards, and he throws a dart that's no higher than 10 feet to Willie Jackson between three defenders, and I said, Jesus Christ, what did I just watch? It's the greatest throw I have ever seen in Saints history. I don't care. Breeze has made some throws that are just phenomenal.
It's
great. Dude, he threw a Aaron Rodgers-type dart down the middle of the field that was a frozen rope.
And the thing Aaron Brooks, when he uncorked the ball, he was long and gangly.
Right.
So he So right? he had this almost like, you know, like I'm gonna get kind of comic book nerdish here, but he had almost like a Spider-Man kind of like it was no, like a superhero like spitting out a web, you know?
Like he extends his front leg at least 2 yards ahead of him when he throws. He's damn near on his knee when he throws it. And you see it, and I'm like, that's got to be picked. This is in the middle of the field. And you see Willie Jackson catch and spin, and the two defenders hit like a head-on collision. And I looked at my dad and said, oh, what did I just see? Just, I was in pure shock.
This is the guy. And I said it then, and I stand by it now. Aaron Brooks' game against San Francisco is the greatest quarterbacked game by a Saint, not Drew Brees.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and I even say it, even if you put Drew Brees' games in it, on that throw alone, I think Brooks' game probably gets into the top five, because even though he was only 12 of 29 for 203 yards, he ran 11 times for 108 yards and had like huge first down. Like that game was like a fucking death match, even though San Francisco was terrible. Like it was like a death match.
So he got the 400 with the next week, because I know he was the first guy at that time to have done both in a season. Thrown for 400 yards and then ran for 100. It wasn't the same game, but it was the same season. So which game did he throw the 400?
He threw for 400, but the game between, because they played the Rams and they played Denver. They got hammered in Denver, but he put up like 450 throwing because they were behind. But I mean that game. I mean and the thing was, it was remarkable. And the thing, they go out.
We were trailing that whole game, right?
You know, that San Francisco game, I want to say it was back and forth, back and forth. But in the fourth quarter, the fourth quarter was nuts in that game, because just looking at the box score, the Saints scored 17, San Francisco scored 13. So it was basically even going into the fourth, and then it got just nuts. And if anybody has that game on, like, upload it to YouTube and like name it something else so we can all go and tell us on Twitter and we can all go and enjoy it before the NFL yanks it down, because it's just because the thing was, you knew that the Saints, they had like Atlanta the next week and then the Rams, and you just at that point you were just like, just get in the playoffs. Like, I don't know if Aaron Brooks but that game, I mean, Aaron Brooks was, that game is, It was magical, man. And the thing was, they go into the playoff game, and Brooks throws four touchdowns, two to Robert Wilson, because Joe Horn got hurt on the first series. You know?
Unbelievable. And that added to the Jeff Blake, Ricky Williams, and we're not talking about like Joe Horn, like Willie Snead. No, this dude was like a top five NFL receiver that season. Yeah. Like he came out of nowhere, and I was like, this guy with the burn from the heater is really good. I had never heard about this guy.
Dude, the Saints signed him, and even back then, I was like an NFL nerd. Like, I got like Pro Football Weekly, and I knew like all the players. I thought the Saints signed him for 4 years, $10 million. I was like, who the fuck is Joe Horn, and why is he getting $10 million? I had no idea who he was. He was like the third receiver in Kansas City and had like a good December. And the Saints went out and got him. And he tore it up from in 2000 from like week two when he caught like a dozen balls. But he got hurt in that first series of the playoff game. They had Robert Wilson, who, oh, by the way, had a broken hand. The Saints in that game, they started Robert Wilson at receiver. They started Andrew Glover at tight end, and they started Terry Allen at running back because all their running backs were hurt. And Aaron Brooks, they put it on Aaron Brooks to do it, and he fucking did it, you know, in that playoff game. They added a lot of injuries, and it almost got away from them, and everybody, I think Akeem drops the ball, and it like overshadows everything about, like, people don't even remember anything about the playoff game. They just remember
So I'll say this about that game. If of all the games that I've attended probably, I'd say, between 200 and 300 Saints games in person, That is the one game that I've experienced the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows. When they have the four touchdowns and we're rolling, when Willie Jackson is doing a little Jenny woman walk for about 20 yards and he's that wide open, I'm like, we have something here. And then when they score that first touchdown and they're coming back, all right, we're still rolling. I sit in the section with Mousy, who does the dances and the costumes and all that. I'm like, okay, all right, here we go. And so they score again. And now you can start, you can feel the Saints fan. You can feel the fear radiate from people. Then Marshall Faulk makes about 10 people miss and scores. And now you can hear, you got 70,000 people standing up and not a word is being said. And you're like, we're really about to lose this game. We are about to lose this game. And I'm sitting next to the guy. We go into the punt. And I said, he outkicks the coverage. I said, boy, if Azazir catches this, but I'm 17 at the time. I said, if he catches this punt, he's either going to score or they're going to score within four plays. And when he drops it, I needed a wet wipe. It was unbelievable.
I remember that game. My friend Trent came with us, and he was sitting down one seat because that was before the Saints had the stadium sold out with season tickets. So if you had season tickets, the Saints would be like, hey, you get playoff tickets. If you want to buy more, you can buy more. So we bought a couple more. And I remember that game. I was drinking the daiquiri, the yard daiquiris, and I was just done. I was just cooked. And I remember turning to my mom and saying, Hakeem fumbles all the fucking time. If he does not fumble this ball, we are fucked. He needs to fumble this ball.
There was no way we were going to stop him.
It was done.
Yeah, I'd have put both my parents' life on it. There was no way we were going to stop those people.
And he fumbled the ball.
And he catches that punt.
He fumbled the ball, and I dropped to my knees. And my mom went, you were right. You were right. And I just, like, it was amazing. And I just remember, like, the joy pouring out the stadium. Like, people were just...
It was crazy.
I remember they had a woman. She was on her boyfriend's... He was carrying her. And she was like you do little kids at the parade, right? And she was pointing at people going, you want to see my tits? You want to see my tits? And she's showing them the tits. But she had fleur-de-lis on both of the tits. Going out. Like, and she did it, God is my witness, she did it the whole way down as you walk from the terrace in the exit.
Man.
She did it the whole way down out the stadium. And I was just like, this is New Orleans and this is great. This is the best night of my life. But
so this is the outdated domes when the first floor had the big tube TVs screwed up at the top.
Yep.
And the bill, when he drops the, it is literally shaking. The entire dome is shaking. And I'm thinking, boy, if this TV comes to loose, this guy here is going to die today.
He's going to die.
And I'm like, and you just see the whole building. Even in the NFC Championship game when we beat the Vikings, it was not as visceral as the reaction as it was when we beat the Rams in 2000.
No,
building was crazy.
I feel like
once he dropped that punt,
I feel like the getting to Minnesota, it was so tense. It was tense from start to finish, and it was a joy. But that playoff game in 2000 was just like, thank God, because if the Saints would have lost that playoff game, we'd have had to burn the dome down and salt the earth and just like move team out of town. So
the murder rate would have went up 20%. Like people would have been.
You joke. But when I used to run Buddy D's post game show, when the Saints would have a hard loss, Buddy would say to men, he would be like, "Men, domestic violence goes up. Please don't drink. Please don't get violent." And he was not joking.
That would have been the game. I mean, it went on with like a 24-0 run.
Oh,
and
crazy.
You could just feel the game slipping.
And they were losing corners. They were losing corners during the game.
I want to say Warner throws a 70-yard bomb to Akeem to where he throws the ball before Akeem even comes out of his break. And I'm like, what the hell is he throwing the ball? And then all of a sudden, 81 comes out of nowhere, catches like, in stride. Like, I almost threw my little popcorn.
I think Warner was concussed, and he didn't get right until like the fourth quarter. Like
that
like would
his, make sense. Like his cobwebs just like on. A light just turned.
Yeah,
on.
Like the light went on. He's like, all right, I'm good. But so the Saints win. They don't win any more playoff games. But the sense was, and it was like an open secret. It was like Jeff Blake is like, I know you can't lose your job because of injury, but that's they're just done, buddy. You just we'll so, trade you or whatever. But it's Aaron Brooks' job.
So here's a thought about that. I'll be real quick on this. So they say it's an open competition, and I remember being in the dome when they give Aaron Brooks the start in one of the preseason games, and he goes like 12 of 12. And yeah. I'm like, well, it's done. There's no more open competition here. And Jeff Blake like, never started.
It was like it was like when they were it was sort of, it's not the same as quarterback, but it was similar to like Kamara. They're like, is Kamara going to be good? Is he going to be able to handle it? Or is he good? Like, and it's like one carry. And you're like, I've seen enough.
Yeah,
put him in bubble wrap. I don't want to see him the rest of the preseason. I've seen enough. You know?
Like, he's our guy. If Brooks is it.
But the thing was with Aaron Brooks was, you know, the defense was terrible. You know, they were bad in 2001. Like they got to 7-7, but they collapsed and they got beat. I want to say the 2000 Saints, they got outscored. I want to say like in the last two games, like 100-0. Like it was bad. Like yeah, they lost 40-10.
Was one of those games that, okay, which year was the year that if Boo Williams catches that wide open touchdown against Cincinnati, we make the playoffs, but he drops it?
That's 2002. But, the Washington game, they lose 40-10. They were winning 10-0. They lose 40-10. They lose the next week 38-0. And you're just like, and the thing was, it was like all the goodwill was gone from 2000. You're like, shit, it's just, you know, they just crumbled, you know? So, the next year, the Saints, it's 2002, and they did this stuff in the offseason, and they go, and that's John Gruden's first year with Tampa, you know?
Oh, that's the one team we could slap.
They go to Tampa, and they win on like a freak touchdown, but they started out 6-1. The defense was crappy, but you were like, they're 6-1. It doesn't matter if the defense is crappy. We're still going to be fine. But then what happened for Aaron Brooks, and it just changed fucking the course of everything, was he got injured against Cleveland when they were 7-3. And they lost.
And he went 27-15 that year, 27 touchdowns, 15 picks. So he had a solid year.
He had a solid year, but he got hurt against Cleveland. The next week against Tampa, he's kind of screwed up. They put in DeLome at the end of the game, and they have like a 3rd and 5, and I remember it because we're at the game, and I remember saying they're gonna run this ball, and Tampa's gonna get this ball back and drive down and score, and the Saints, it's either overtime or the Saints are gonna lose because their defense is not gonna hold them. It was like 3rd and 5, and they ran a play where they ran a slant to Joe Horn, like they called in DeLome like cold off the bench, and he threw it, boom, Saints win. The next week, Brooks sits, and Jalone.
So is that the Baltimore game?
That's the Baltimore game.
Okay, I remember that game. Okay, and that was coming back to me. Okay. Yeah.
So that's another game where, no, I take it back. Aaron Brooks starts, and he's terrible, and he's 9-25, and you just see it. Like, he's trying to play, but he's like airmailing throws.
And that's the game that the All-Star are clamoring. Like, at what point do you go to Jake DeLome?
Yeah,
At what point? Yeah.
And he's like 7 of 8 for 103 yards and wraps it up. By the way, Deuce, 32 rushes for 127-3. Basically, the plan was, we know Aaron Brooks' shoulder's fucked up. We don't trust Jake. Hey, Deuce, do you want to carry it 40 times?
Man, Deuce had a couple games.
And Deuce had 3 receptions, too. So he had 35 touches.
I'm not sure if it was that season, but there is a game that whatever year we played Green Bay,
yeah,
that Deuce has about 150 yards, but then he has like 120 taken back from like Jerry Fontenot holding on the opposite side of the field. They and he could have had like about 270 yards in a dome. And I'm just like, why every time Deuce touched the ball, he's running 70 yards untouched?
Untouched, and you get them. You know, all you gotta do is stand there, Jerry. Just don't touch nobody. Just get in the way, man. Deuce, the breeze. When you feel the breeze on your ass, just stop doing stuff. You know.
Okay.
So they go, and then the next week they play Minnesota. And when we did the Drunk History earlier this year, and we ranked the top 10 worst plays in Saints history, the Dante Culpepper 2-point conversion where he drops the ball, looks around for 5 minutes, picks it up, and then runs in, and the Saints lose 32-31. But that was another game
Is that the gold uniform game?
That's the gold uniform game. We have
Cedric Hyde running 1-on-1 with Randy Moss up the field in the fourth quarter, 1-on-1, like anybody thought that was a damn good idea.
Yeah, like...
That led to the 2-point conversion.
Like Rick Venturi, like I feel like Rick Venturi died in the mid-90s, and it was like Weekend at Bernie's, and his corpse was the defensive coordinator, and like nobody would admit it, you know? Because that's the only reason, Ian, that you would have a dude run. You would be like, I want a linebacker that's not smart and not particularly fast. I want him to run with Randy Moss. That's a good idea.
Like 1-on-1 up the middle of the field.
Like, do you think Randy Moss is like talking shit to him as he's running with him?
As he's jogging. As he's clearly jogging, and he puts the hand up like, if you don't throw me this shit right now. And I'm just sitting in the dome like, are you really? That's what we're going to do? We got these terrible uniforms.
I remember
Michael Lewis ran a kickback that game.
Yeah, he did. And I remember they got a guy, bless his heart, Mr. Jones, everybody calls him. And he just goes, fucking Cedric Hodge. I can't say it because I'm white. He goes, bleep, you deserve that shit. And I just go, I can't argue with the man. I cannot argue.
Man, I just believe. Okay, keep going. Oh, this
so is so the next so week, good. So the next week they lose to Cincinnati 20-10, and Cincinnati was
garbage.
Cincinnati was 1-13 going into the game.
So we're losing 13-10, and it's late fourth quarter. And Boo Williams runs the greatest post route of a tight end in Saints history. And Brooks, who struggled all game, hits in between the 8 and 2, and there's not a guy within 10 yards. If he catches that ball, game is over. We're going to win. And he dropped. This is when he thought he was really going to be good. He's got the grill. You know, he had a solid season in 2001. He's like, I'm Boo Williams. I'm man. And he drops that, and I said, we don't deserve to make the playoff. I mean, the ball hits him. He could moonwalk into the end zone. And he went, and Drew, I mean, Brooks had been awful all game, and he musters up my spirit bomb, one great throw, and he just.
I can remember Brooks walking to the sideline. His head was down the whole way. Like Sean Payton would have lost his mind over that bad body language.
It was like a third down. It was like a major third down.
Yeah, it was like a major
bust.
And I just remember, like, you could tell, like, Aaron Brooks was like, my arm is fucked. I mustered it up.
I gave it everything.
The thing was, though, I will say, like, if you could take a Saints player out of Saints history and, like, get their head on right and put them on the team now. Like, Boo Williams could catch 85 balls. He would catch 85 balls with Drew Brees.
Yeah. In like 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns. He was a – before this whole – obviously they had Tony Gonzalez and Shannon Sharp back in the day. But with guys that Eric Ebron's and Evan Ingram's, and he was legit like 6'5", 250. He was the basketball guy before Jimmy came along. Like, he was it.
Boo Williams played tight end when teams gave a shit about blocking. Like now,
exactly.
They don't even protect teams. Like I argue with people on Twitter, like he can't block. I'm like, do you think I give a shit? Name me one block Jimmy Graham ever made that you can remember. You know,
I could care less. So I know he caught several balls between 2 and 3 guys that Drew had no business throwing.
So then the Saints go. And that game in Carolina, just, you talk about, like, you know, we talk about the moments before, you know, of like the saddest moments when you out of a stadium. That's because the Saints, all they needed to do was beat Carolina and they go to the playoffs. Like, beat Carolina, who's seven and eight, I think they were, or whatever. Beat them, you go to the playoffs. And the thing was, it's hard for me to remember a time going to a Saints game where the fans were just fucking, I want to think of a fancy word, but I'm too drunk. They were just fucking angry. They wanted to be mad. They were mad at the Saints before the game even started. You know, like they were mad.
I would say the only game. No. That was after when we lost a couple years ago to Tennessee. To, was it Mariota?
Oh yeah,
Kevin, yeah, Kevin and Keenan Lewis bumping each other.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So we weren't mad going into that game, but we had got teased to get back to 500.
They got mad quick.
It's the worst team in the league. Yeah, we're gonna beat them. We're gonna finally get over 500. And that touchdown happens in my end zone. So when they throw it, and I see Bird like with the center field waving, like I got it. And I see Keenan coming back like, okay, stop running. Okay, wait, Bird is right there. Stop running. And then when they smash into each other.
Delaney Walker.
He catches it for a
touchdown. You're like, I'm like, fucking set that shit to Benny Hill. Jesus fucking Christ.
And that's when everybody knew from that point was angry. Even though we missed a kick that could have won again. Nobody cared. We were so angry after that one play.
But they were angry.
We don't care at this point.
They were angry in the Carolina game, like, sitting down. We were like, fuck. Get Aaron Brooks out of the game. Put the loam in. And the thing is, like, I think the problem for Aaron Brooks, and we can just start here, is that, look, race has a lot to do with it. He's a black quarterback. There's a big chunk of the fan base. They don't like a black quarterback. They're going to turn on him quick. But I think also part of it was, Ian, Jake DeLome was a local kid, and right. Aaron Brooks had the aloof personality where when the Saints winning, it's like, oh, he doesn't feel the pressure. When they lose, this motherfucker's throwing backwards passes and chuckling as he's throwing interceptions,
So the craziest part about that game that always gets like, okay, Aaron Brooks had a lot of aloof moments. He did a lot of things that pissed people off. But he was failed tremendously by his teammates. Jake Reed drops a wide open touchdown in that Carolina game that if he catches it, they win. But nobody ever blames Jake Reed for that drop. Nope. Just like when Drew Brees' touchdown record ends, it's, Drew threw six five interceptions. But nobody blames Lance Moore for dropping the wide open touchdown that would have kept the record going. So it's something like he hits Jake Reed between an 8 and a 6. Last few minutes of the game that you paid all this money to get this guy from Minnesota that if you catch, you win. But nobody ever talks about that play. Brooks, and you should have had Jake DeLome in the game.
By the way, Jake Reed is one of my underrated, most hated Saints players because he was terrible with the Saints, and his only job was to babysit his cousin Dale Carter. And he couldn't even do that. So it's like, Jake, we're paying you. You're terrible. But the main thing is to babysit Dale Carter and make sure he doesn't fail any drug tests. And he couldn't even do that. So, like, he's my top 15 all-time hated Saints.
Me say this. With all that being said of me just making all those excuses for Aaron Brooks, I, too, was clamoring for Jake DeLome.
Thing was, the Saints, and Jim Haslett admitted at the time, he's like, I didn't want another quarterback controversy after Blake with Aaron Brooks. But the thing was, you could see that Aaron couldn't do it. Like,
the thing is,
I don't blame him for being like, I want to play, because the player is always going to say, let me play, or most of them, right? Especially quarterbacks. You know, for all this stuff about saying Aaron Brooks wasn't a leader and this and that, quarterbacks, man, they always have quarterbacks, I think, more than any other position, have, like, a fear of losing their job. So, like, they're always going to play. So, it was, to me, it was Jim Haslett and McCarthy's responsibility to say, Jake DeLome you got to play. But the thing is, if Jake DeLome plays, the history might be different because the Saints might have made, you know, I don't think they win the Super Bowl, but if Jake gets them in the playoffs and they win a game, then you're doing it all again. And Jim Hazard was like, I didn't want to do it all.
The crazy part about it is, like, you're 100% accurate. And so if you're Brooks, you don't want to come off the field because you're still making league minimum. You're hoping to parlay this into a deal. And then the Saints fans are pissed because the following year, Jake leads Carolina to the Super Bowl. So you've multiplied it 100 times because now your first thought of the Saints fan was, that was our quarterback. He could have did that with us.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you're Aaron Brooks, you saw Jake come off cold against Tampa and complete it to win the game. You saw him go 7-8 against Baltimore. So you fucking know that if he gets in, he's going to do it. And
we just saw that 2 seasons ago with Drew out. He sees Luke McCown make a 15-yard out to Brandon Cooks, and now all of a sudden he's stretching and blowing his hand and fake simulating the snap count.
Yeah.
So the camera can be on him.
And he didn't want a goddamn. He got a Super Bowl. He didn't want the Super Bowl. And that's Drew Brees, as made a guy as you could be. And he's like trying to like make tell everybody it's still my job, you guys.
Yeah, it's still my job. Yeah, I'm still involved.
So like,
he came back the next week. So yeah.
I don't blame Aaron Brooks at all. You know, because he knew he saw it, right? And the thing is, but here's my question: is how much because after that when the next year when Jake led him to the Super Bowl, fans had turned on Aaron Brooks and it was just a nightmare. But how much of do you think of it was Aaron Brooks, the fans turn on him? How much of you do you think it was that he was black? How much of do you think it was his personality? And how much of do you think it was they had a local boy that should have been playing, fans thought? Like, what do you think was the main thing that turned fans against him?
So I think all three of those things are exactly what happened. And I want to add a fourth thing. He was Michael Vick's cousin. Michael Vick tearing the league up. And so when they ask him, hey, are you going to run around like that? Hey, are you going to be a playmaker? And he's like, I'm a pocket quarterback. Don't classify me in that. Nah, dude, you need to do whatever the hell you need to do to win. You're talking like you're 13-3. You're 8-8, and people are clamoring for Jake DeLome. If you got to go run for 150 today, or you need to go do it. And he refused to do it. So when you're a 55% completion guy, when you have the ability to run a 4-6 and go get yards and you don't do it, then now I'm going to nitpick on everything because you're not made enough to tell me I'm not going to go run. And I'm not saying that's all he should have done, but he had a skill set that was – he was Colin Kaepernick physically before Colin Kaepernick.
But he
like
was,
I'm
to
6'4", would have laid the rocket arm, and I can run by everybody on the field.
But to me, Brooks was better than Kaepernick because Brooks – his accuracy was better and his touch was better. Colin Kaepernick
When he wanted to. Yeah. Now, he ran that Mike McCarthy, you know, pin with Aaron Rodgers struggles with now as far as, I don't really have a good game plan, which is going to make very tough contested throws, and you happen to be the best at what you do, so you make it work. So the offense system was Payton, Stalwart, and Horn. We're just going to force feed you guys no matter what the coverage is.
Yep.
And we're just going to hope Aaron Brooks can get it in there somehow.
Yeah, so, and he did it a lot of times. Like, that's the thing. Like, Mike McCarthy is not that good of a coach. Like,
at all.
Like, during Aaron Brooks' time, not hardly ever were you like, man, that was a beautiful scheme to play. No. Sometimes with Peyton, Drew Brees will make a great throw, and you'll be like, that's great, and Kamara. But a lot of times, man, you're just like, Jesus Christ, that's a beautiful scheme to play.
Literally three wide receivers. We're going to run deuce down your throat. Then we're going to go play action to Joe Horn. And if we can run that little button hook to where he plants and then spins away, if your cornerback bites, we get a fancy play out
the
of
funniest
it.
Thing, the funniest thing about the Jim Haslett era to me, of all of it, it's a lot of it is comedy. The funniest thing to me was that the Saints – the Mike McCarthy plan could beat Tampa Bay because they had the receivers to beat the cover two and they would just pound deuce. But even funnier than that is Rick Venturi, for whatever reason, knew how to stop John Gruden all his shifts and motions and trips one side and all that shit. Like, Rick Venturi knew how to stop it cold. It was the funniest thing to me that they, you know.
I want to say the year they won the Super Bowl.
The Saints beat them twice.
They dominated them twice, yeah.
They beat them twice, and they never scored over 20 on a Saints defense that was piss poor. You know?
There's certain teams you just have certain matchups. Certain teams. But,
so Aaron Brooks, so they
but I mean, back to your original question.
Yep.
It was all three. It was a tough spot for him. Cause even if he's fiery, look, we've lived in Louisiana long enough to know he was in a no-win situation. If he's fiery, then he's gonna be viewed as being defiant. So he goes happy, then it's, well, you don't care enough.
Yep.
We have Jake. If it was nothing, like, for the reason that he's not on the team, and we're talking about Bobby Hebert, who is a hero, and there's no disrespect to Bobby Hebert. I just ate at his restaurant 2 days ago. It's fine. The shit was terrible. But it is what it is. It's fine. Whatever. But the fact that he is a legend in this city, and Aaron Brooks, I know his comments about Benson after Katrina sealed his fate, but like, what were you watching? Like, because he's a local guy and has an accent, because we're talking about on the field, he's not even in the same category as a player.
Well,
but it is what it is.
Here's my thing, and maybe I've had too much, but name me a black quarterback in the history of the NFL that was vocal and defiant. Name me one. I can't think of one. I can think of good black quarterbacks. I can think of great ones. But I cannot think of a guy that was a black quarterback that was defiant and chewed ass and yelled at people and did the Tom Brady.
And this is a stretch, maybe Steve McNair.
Maybe.
And I don't even know if he was defiant, but he was just so big and country.
Yeah.
And he had skins on the wall. And he moved that franchise from, you know, Houston to Tennessee, that he earned that, and then went to Baltimore. So, yeah, that's
one.
That's a stretch. And that's a stretch. One. That's me reaching. Yeah, that's me reaching.
Here's my thing. Here's my thing with Brooks. I think race, and as you mentioned, him being a cousin of Michael Vick, I think it exacerbated it. But I think what really set it apart and made it extra difficult was Jake being local. If you'd have flipped it around.
Oh, yeah, you're
if
right,
you'd have flipped
right,
it around and Aaron Brooks would have been Aaron Brooks from ULL, and he'd had the same personality, I don't think people would have clamored as much for Jake DeLone.
I want to say Jake came in 99.
Yeah, he won Ditka's last game won. He beat the Cowboys on Christmas Eve, and it was Jake DeLone starting.
The reality is, if Jeff Blake doesn't start 6-0 or whatever he started, people would have been clamoring for him in 2000. Everybody wanted Jake to be the guy. He was a local fiery kid who made a roster that wasn't supposed to and won Dick's last game. So, yeah. So, it was just a tough spot for any quarter. We're saying Aaron Brooks, but if Jeff Blake would have started falling off, you couldn't stop that Jake DeLone train. It was more like, if we're going to lose, I want to lose with the local guy.
Local. And the Bobby Hebert thing of having the local quarterback was still a thing. It was still fresh in your mind. It wasn't even a decade ago. You know, like now, Bobby Hebert, like, if you're under the age of 30, like, Bobby Hebert's just YouTube clips and the drunk guy on the post game. You know?
Right. And once again, he was good for what the Saints needed, but I don't ever recall being a situation of a 10-year-old thinking, you know, hey, let's go, Bobby. Let's go win this game.
The only moment I can think of Bobby ever being awesome and being like, thank God for Bobby, was in 91. Bobby had hurt his shoulder and the Saints were in a tailspin and they played the Raiders on Monday night. And this was back when the Raiders won like 75% of their games on Monday night. And the Saints played the Raiders at home on Monday night. And Bobby Hebert returned, and the Saints won like 24-0. And Bobby threw like 2 touchdowns and was like 8. You know, he's like 16 of 30. And you were like, thank God, thank God Bobby's back. That's the only moment I can ever, like, remember Bobby doing great things, you know? And the thing is, to me, is, like, Aaron Brooks is, he's not, I don't know if he's top 10 or 15 player in Saints history, but he's the second best quarterback, you know?
Yeah,
but
he's not that. I mean, that, like, I'm looking at it right now. He starts 16 games in 2003. He goes 306 of 518 for his highest completion percentage, 59%, 3,500 yards, 24 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions. Had a 1.5 interception percentage, which was his by far career low.
Yeah.
You know, an 89 QB rating, comes back and he runs for another 175 and 2 touchdowns. That's a season that, because you go 8-8, no one really, you know, it's like, oh, ho hum, we didn't make
interesting, the interesting thing is, and we talk about, you know, like, what ifs in Saints history, what if they'd have played DeLone, what if this, you know what, to me, is a huge what if, Ian? You look at the 2004 Saints, they were 4-8, and you were like, okay, it's done, Hazlitt's gonna get fired, this is done with, and they were 4-8, and they rallied, and they got to 8-8, and if the freaking Rams or the Jets just would have beat the Rams the final week of the year, or the Redskins, or the Redskins would have won, the Saints would have been in the playoffs, and they'd have played a shitty Green Bay team. You know, like, if Doug Bryan makes that field goal for the Jets, the Saints are going to Green Bay, and I know it would have been cold or whatever, but that was back when the Saints had peak Deuce and peak Joe Horn. If that 8-8 Saints team wins a playoff game in 2004, let's say they go to Green Bay and win and then get housed by whoever the next week, that might have bought Jim Haslett another year after Katrina, because then you'd have said, well, Jim Haslett, he's been to the playoffs twice and he's won 2 playoff games. We can't just kick him out after Katrina. You know, he just won a playoff game the year before. That's shitty. We can't do that to him. To me, it's one of the great what-ifs in Saints history that we don't talk about.
Well, I agree. And other than winning a couple of play, I think Haslett was done for no matter what. When Randy Mueller lost his job, he was gone. It was only a matter of time. And I want to say Mueller went like 04, 05 on some stuff separate, like some things he did. So I think if you're Loomis, once you become the head guy, you want to hire your guy, period. So I think Katrina gave them the opportunity to wipe the slate clean. I think if Katrina doesn't happen, maybe we have that conversation. But they just wanted to wipe that team completely anew. Because I think anytime you get a new position, that's the first thing you want to do is hire your guy. So I don't think Jim had any shot. He would have had to have won a Super Bowl or get to an NFC Championship, but he was out of here. And I think he was defeated too. I think even going in that 04 season, you could see he was losing hairline and he was like, this shit sucks. It was only a matter of time.
The one thing I want to say is the 2004 season really had the last great Aaron Brooks moment. Because Aaron Brooks, for all the shit people gave him, he was pretty good at the end of games. They won a lot of close games. They had the 4-game winning streak, but they went to Tampa, and we talked about it before, for whatever fucking reason, the Saints, the shitty defense. They owned John, like, Haslett and Venturi fucking owned Gruden. And he hit, Tampa goes ahead 17-14, and the Saints drive down, and he hits Stallworth with a 7-yard slant. They go ahead 21-17 with 30 seconds left, and you're like, holy shit. The Saints are 6-8 and still in the playoffs, and it was Aaron Brooks, you know, because the thing is with Aaron Brooks, he would always say, I'm not a scrambling quarterback, you know, I'm a pocket guy, but man, in the 2-minute drill, he would always let it loose. And that was when he was so good. You know, Tampa game, 3 rushes for 17 yards, but one of them was a fourth and 8. He scrambles for it. Like, when he would let it loose, he was so good, and he had the speed that the just he was a guy that was just athletic enough to outrun defensive ends and slow linebackers for first downs when it mattered. And he wouldn't do it all the time, but goddamn, Ian, in the 2-minute drill, he did it a lot. And that was like his last great moment as a Saints. Like, he leads them down, they score, they win, and they should have made the playoffs, but didn't.
So I think that's another thing that caught people off guard with him and why people are so angry. Like you just said, that he had just enough athleticism to outrun slow linebackers and defense. I disagree. I think he had way more athleticism. He just had a very slow, lazy game.
Yeah.
And I think that's what pissed people off.
Maybe like, people so. I think that's true.
People felt like, dude, you have a level. Like, he was the modern-day free quarterback. And he just didn't want to showcase it. Like, if you could build a QB in a factory, you'd build a guy 6'4 with a laser rocket arm with long legs who can run. And he was like, nah, that's not me. I'm just a normal, everyday QB. I'm like, dude, you are a freak athlete. You can do this anytime you want. But like you said, it took to the 2-minute drill for him to showcase it. And he'd be like, wow, he's running 15 yards and nobody's gaining on him. How is that possible? He's a quarterback.
He had the thing in a lesser degree that Kamara has, where you're like,
right.
I feel like Kamara runs just fast enough to score, but he's got gears that he doesn't even use because he's like, Why should I use the turbo button? I don't need the turbo button.
I don't need it. Yeah, I don't need it. Like, I can jog and get there. So why the hell am I running hard for it? And I think that's what made people mad about Aaron Brooks. And he was the same way. It was like, dude, you're not good enough. I mean, you're not successful enough.
And you're not trying hard. And you don't. And it fed right. into the, you don't care. You know.
And you just mentioned Kamara, and I think Kamara is a flat-out stud. But, boy, if he ever has a year where it doesn't click for him and he has that same way, people are going to start pissing and moaning. Like, oh, you don't run as hard as such and such. Or Jonathan Williams, you know how it is every year. Jonathan Williams needs to get touches, man.
Yeah. He needs to get them hard yards.
I mean, the fan base finds a guy that is clearly a lesser player than the guy who's ahead of him. But we will hype them up because he tries. So I'm like, shut up. Like, now, I'm trying to, who the hell we did that with a couple years ago? Mark Ingram has been a victim of this for the last, I don't know, his whole entire Saints career. It's like, oh, you see how hard Kyrie Robinson, oh, you see how hard there's no name. I'm like, shut up. Like, no, Ingram is far better than this guy. But because this guy run into a brick wall at full speed, you think he's better. Like, stop it.
Ivory, he runs into the brick wall until he gets injured.
Ivory was a monster. Ivory got paid. He's the only guy to ever leave the Saints and get paid until Cooks gets paid coming up. So I'm going to leave Ivory alone. But there were a couple running backs, like, you know, over the last 2 years that backed up Ingram that people were like, oh, he should get. Oh, Tim Hightower. Jesus Christ. How did I forget that?
Tim Hightower, man.
He averaged 3.1 yards a carry.
Tim Hightower ever had a 12-yard run, any other running back, it'd have been a 50-yard touchdown.
Like,
they played Atlanta the final of the 2015 season, and Hightower had like 85 yards rushing, and the Saints ended up winning. Dude, Ingram would have had a buck 25. Kamara would have had 210 with the way the Saints.
I
want to
say. I could be completely wrong, and I could be making this up, and I'm sure somebody will tweet you saying I made this up. But I want to say his longest carry in the 2015 season was 9 yards. Seriously. It might be like 9 or 12 yards. Now, he can get you 3 yards if you needed 4. He can get you 3 yards if you needed 2. But he's going to get you 3 yards, and that was it.
Here's another thing that burns me about Aaron Brooks, and it's another thing that gets lost. And this, I think, probably proves that I'm the biggest Aaron Brooks stan that there is in 2015 when they benched him and put in Todd Bauer. That was just fucking wrong, and they did him dirty. They should have just put, if that's disrespectful. That's like putting me in the game. I mean,
you should just put Adrian McPherson in or whatever.
Yeah, like that was disrespectful to the man. That was disrespectful to the man because it was such a fucking drop off of like that was basically the Saints just saying, "Fuck it, we're tanking games."
Yeah, yeah. Which they should have done. Which they should have done. I was all for it, man. I went to one of the games. I want to say in Baton Rouge when they played Saban and them, and I was like, that's stupid. I'm not doing this.
Longest run from Hightower was 26 yards. It felt like 9.
How many yards?
26 was his longest
run. What was it?
26 yards, longest
run. Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize.
It felt like 9.
I'm sorry. I apologize. It felt like it. I don't know. I mean, he had like 100 carries versus Seattle for like 47 yards, but we won the game, so it looks cool. Anyways, okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. But yeah, that 2005 season was the first season that I was looking draft prospects up in like September. I was like, well, we're 0-3. Let's look at who we could get with this early pick. I never thought Reggie Bush was an option, so it was like, yeah, let's just try to lose as many games. I was upset we won 3 games.
I told the story in the last Drunk History. Me and Mike Mills reviewed the
the 2006 offseason.
The 2006 offseason. I celebrated like they won the Super Bowl when Detroit kicked that last second field goal, because I was like, that's the difference between picking second and picking seventh. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. But
yes.
But I still felt like the disrespect. I felt like Aaron Brooks was so damaged at that point. It wouldn't have mattered if they'd have kept him in. They weren't winning any more games. I just felt like that was disrespectful to me to put it. And the thing is, Todd Bauman was so terrible.
Oh yeah, I mean, but Todd Bauman got a job in like 2010, so someone clearly loves him. He's been blessed. Anyways, but he did an interview outside of the high school. That they were practicing that. And when he gave that interview of saying how this is bogus and NFL guys shouldn't be treated like, it was a done deal. It was gone. It was over. It was finished. I remember the interview as it happened, and I was like, yeah, I know you just got that contract.
Well, he got, but this is probably
not the time.
He got really sort of confident in himself or just didn't give a fuck. He started that in 2004.
He was very ornery at that time.
Because I remember when they were in 2004, this is when I covered the Saints in the locker room and I was assistant at WWL and I would go in there and get sound. This is my highlight as a quote-unquote journalist reporter. Aaron Brooks was in there, and this was back, you know, Aaron Brooks wasn't the star that Drew Brees was, so, like, reporters could just go up to him in his locker and be like, hey, do you want to do an interview or whatever? And he had, like, finished doing his sound, and they had a guy from the Newport News, which was where he was from in Virginia, I believe, and he was talking to him, and I just kind of went up there, and I didn't interrupt him, but I just had my little tape recorder, and I hit the record button while he's talking, and Aaron Brooks said, man, the fucking fans come at us. The fucking coaches come at us. The fucking owner come at us because Benson got so mad he canceled the Christmas party because they were so terrible and he had said some stuff. And he's like, I'm just proud of us. We just didn't give up. Everybody coming at us and we're gonna do it. We're gonna make the, you know, and we're gonna get to 8-8. And I remember getting that sound and like the guy from Virginia. He's recording, but he's not doing local TV or radio. And I remember getting the sound thinking, oh my fucking God, I can't believe I just got this sound. I went back to my little booth, little media area for the Saints, and I put my headphones on and I played it to make sure that I got recorded clearly, because even then I was paranoid about it, I'd fuck it up. And I remember telling Kenny, I was like, Kenny, listen to this. He's like, I don't have the time. I'm like, fucking sit down here, Wilkerson, and listen to this sound. And Kenny's eyes got biggest fucking saucers, and Buddy led the show with it, and that was the highlight of my NFL reporting, and I never got a scoop or anything near that ever again, but that was my peak.
Well, by the time after his second year, when he threw the 26 touchdowns, the Saints gave him that 6-year, $36 million contract extension.
Same as Brady got the same deal at the same time. They got the same, I want to say, they got the same deals on the same day.
So Tom Brady had just signed a 4-year, $30 million extension, and Aaron Brooks got a six-year, $36 million with a $5 million signing bonus. So in his mind, he's like, I'm made, like I'm here now, like I'm in good shape. I'm saying, and now that I'm looking at the date in which they gave him the deal, that is probably why they didn't pull him for the loan. Because they gave it going into that 2002 season. So if I give you a 6-year, $36 million deal, and Jake plays well, now we are in a tough spot.
Oh, yeah. And see,
and you know,
and here's the thing.
So they couldn't put Jake in.
No, and here's the thing. Back in 2002, that was where if they had pulled Brooks and Jake Delhomme had gone on and led him to a playoff win, and then they were like,
they wouldn't have to pay Jake.
They would have to pay Jake. That was back when Benson wasn't senile and old and not making decisions. Benson would have been like, what the fuck you doing? You just paid Brooks $36 million. Now you want me to pay Jake $20 million? Are you out of your fucking mind?
Yeah, like, it was not going to happen.
Yeah, like that was back when that was Benson back when Benson was actually running. Benson wasn't necessarily running things, but he cared a lot about his money. You know?
Oh, he was, because Mickey was just a cap guy in 2002. Yeah. Randy Mueller was making the moves then.
Yeah. So that was just a wholly different thing. So I guess like the older I get, Ian, as we wrap this up, and thanks for, I told Ian we'd be like 35 minutes. We're over an hour. So,
hey, man, I have nothing better to do. So, I'm going to go with the kid and let him slap me in the face. So
I will say this. The older I get, the more I look back at Aaron Brooks, and I love him more. I don't remember the backwards pass. I don't remember the shoulder injury. I remember the playoff win. I remember the game in San Francisco. I remember the comebacks, him always beating Tampa. That's what I remember. And the older I get, Ian, the more fondly I remember him, and the angrier I get that he's not on the 50th anniversary team. How do you feel about Aaron Brooks? And then we'll get out of here.
Well, I'm partial because I've had the opportunity to meet him a handful of times. He used to, I'm doing air quotes, date my manager at work. So he would come through the facility frequently. So shouts out to Aaron Brooks. I enjoyed that night at the Best Western that you left. But anyways, once again, way
people
up.
Are gonna be like, people are going to be tweeting me like, I need the Best Western story. You need a drunk history. I need the details. Like, we can't do that. Maybe we'll do After Dark just for the patrons and the people that donate. We'll have the X-rated Saints Happy Hour with Ian and Ralph.
I was like 21. Nah, but no, Aaron was an awesome guy when he would come in. And so maybe I'm partial because I've had the opportunity to meet him and speak to him back in those days. But I just thought that he gets overlooked because of Drew's success, Manning's history at Ole Miss, in that Bobby Hebert is the Cajun cannon. Because he doesn't have a lot in front of him to where he wouldn't be viewed as the second best quarterback. I mean, it's not like he went up against a lot of hard competition. Obviously, Drew is Drew, but I think Drew's greatness has minimized that 2000 to 2004 stretch Brooks had. There's just not another Saints quarterback other than Drew that can match that 5-year stretch. It just isn't. I mean, he had the first playoff victory. You can't take that away from him. So, am I going to stand on the hill and say he was a great player or even necessarily a great Saint? But I do agree he's the second best quarterback the Saints have ever had. I really do feel that way. Not even trying to be a contrarian. I just think that's what it is.
It's just a fact. So, Ian, my guy, thanks for joining us. That ends Drunk History for Memorial Day weekend. British lady, take us out.
Thanks to all of our Saints Happy Hour listeners whose donations made Drunk Saints History possible. Until next time, remember, surviving Saints history is hard. That's why God made alcohol.